Now, there was a couple of things that I wanted to discuss with you all today that occurred to me throughout the week. And one of them is fear. And before I get into that, a little history for you. At the Council of Nicaea, they're trying to decide which of the early Christian books to put in. It's hard for us to imagine now, but when Christianity first begins to spread, it's ad hoc, it's loose, it's persecuted. So, you know, half the time you got to know the secret knock handshake to get into the underground bunker. The secret police are looking for the people. So there's no centralized structure. There's no bureaucracy of the church. You know, today, so much of religion is controlled, it's structured, it's organized, there's meetings and things like that. But of course, at the beginning, there couldn't be any of that. So Christianity kind of grows up spontaneously, rapidly, with power. And I believe the reason it does is because it offers something religion, pagan religion, is a very transactional affair, meaning you sacrifice the goat to Zeus, and Zeus gives you whatever you want, right? You kill the bird, and Dionysus gives you free wine or something like that, right? You pay for what you get. And so if it's transactional, then that means that there's money involved, and the people at the top are the ones that got the money. So the priests, and they're the ones who are balling out of control, as they say, Heidi. Do they say that? I don't know. And the lower class are kind of left out. But Christianity flips that all on its head. You don't need any of that. You don't need priests. You don't need cows. You don't need money. You just need to believe. And so it spreads rapidly. And of course, this scares those who want to maintain the status quo. And so they want to crush it. They want to destroy it. And I believe that's the strength of Christianity still to this day, is its adaptability. Like Judd said, and that I'm going to talk about, Christianity meets you wherever you're at. Jesus does. And that's what enables 2,000 years ago the son of a carpenter to be, you know, the son of God's raised by a carpenter, I guess is more accurate. Anyhow, but the problem is when the Romans get a hold of it at the Council of Nicaea, they gotta get it more organized. We know more about the Romans than we know about anybody else because they wrote stuff down. There were many fabulous indigenous tribes of North America that we will never know anything about because they didn't write anything down. But the Romans were a very litigious group. So they had laws and words and books and things. So we know all about what they're thinking and feeling and saying. And so when they get Christianity, like I've said before, Constantine is like, this is a whole mess. This looks like my son's and daughter's room. We gotta clean it up here. And so as they're looking through the Gospels, they come up with the four. Now the first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are known as the Synoptic Gospels. Because synoptic in Greek means like same word or same phrase or same saying. Because Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the same stories, pretty much. In fact, there's passages where they're verbatim, which is a little strange because they were written 100 years after Jesus was doing his thing, and they were written by different people in different languages at different parts of the Mediterranean. So one may ask, why on earth would they do this? Many scholars believe it's so they get their story straight, right? This is what we want to say. And John is the one kind of fly in the ointment, as they say. It's different. And so I think that's why, personally, John's my favorite. And I think it's that's why it's different. And John is, for all intents and purposes, written by a person who was there and saw. So what does all of that mean? Not much. However, in my opinion, it does speak to a fundamental truth about Christianity in that we have always been arguing about what it means to be a Christian. I still do this today, all the time. And it comes into what I want to talk about, fear. God is love. We talk a lot about kind of two contrasts, you know, to light there is dark, right? And people think the opposite of love is hate, but I would argue that the opposite of love is fear. Because fear can cause you to hate, but fear can cause you to do any number of self-destructive things. And somebody who is filled with love is not filled with fear. You'll never find somebody who's full up of love who will make a racist remark. You'll never find somebody full up of love who will give another driver the finger. Fear is the opposite. It's the antithesis of love. And as Christians, as seekers of the truth, fear is going to be our main stumbling block. Many people who come in these doors, if they hear something like that about the original Gospels, are going to walk right back out. Because if you question one thing, then you question everything. And then the fear sets in. Well, wait, if there's a part of this that's not true, or that I was wrong about, then the whole thing could be untrue. Did that track? So if your whole gospel is, say the words so you go to heaven, and then somebody questions the words, then that questions heaven, that questions everything, right? But if you're just stuck in the past, afraid to hear anything new, then the devil has you right where he wants you. Fear limits us. It limits me constantly, just what I'm afraid of changes. When I was a young man in high school, I could only wear dark shirts because I sweat profusely. Gross, I know, Steve. I could use like the, you know, aluminum deodorant and it didn't matter because I had so much anxiety. I put on a good show, beep, bop, beep, but I was terrified of what people would think. That I would like say something stupid, as I often did. If I would try and ask a girl out and she would reject me, which I often did, Hector. I was afraid of what would happen when I would grow up. I was afraid of disappointing my parents. I was afraid of what the people, afraid. So what did I do to alleviate this fear? Anything that would bring me a moment's pleasure, right? If I could, you know, date a girl and then cheat on her, then that would show everybody that not only am I not afraid of being rejected, I do what I want. But it comes from the fear, right? I'm socially anxious, so I drink alcohol and get the liquid courage. The fear drives me to destructive behavior, right? Now I'm an older man, I don't have that same problem. But now my fear has changed. Last night, my watch woke me up because my heart started beating too slowly for some reason. It went, brrr, old man, your heart's beating so, and then I'm like laying awake at night. Is my heart going to stop right now, dude? Is my heart about to stop right now? Is this how it happens? Jude's going to wake me up in the morning with my watch beeping at me that I died 5 hours ago? It never before happened to me where I was afraid of just dying suddenly. But now I'm of an age where I'm like, gray hairs, heart monitoring watches. My fear has changed. I was talking with somebody from our congregation, and we were talking about the future and how we could, you know, help grow the church. And they were like, well, you know, it's going to sink or swim based on now that you're leading as the holy man or something to that effect. And it, like, I got cold. The hair on my arm started standing up. I was like, what? And then I started to think, well, what does that even mean? A holy man? Am I supposed to like move to Tibet, Heidi? Just like meditate with the Sherpas? Does that mean that I got to pray 4 hours every day like Dad? Does that mean that I've got to pore over ancient tomes? to find some hidden knowledge like Nicolas Cage? What does it mean? What does it mean to be a Christian? Am I allowed to drink alcohol? Am I allowed to listen to punk rock? You shouldn't. It's, you know. But what does it mean? And I am fearful of whether or not I fit into that box. The fear is what drives many people. And so to be a Christian means to fight that fear. But I was talking with a Trader Joe's employee yesterday, and we were talking about the truth and how whatever that means. And he said, "I used to be a Christian." And he said, "But I'm not anymore." And I was like, "Dude, I'm going to miss you in heaven, bro." Just joking. Just joking. I say that to Jude when she won't brush her teeth. Disrespecting your father? I'm going to miss you in heaven, baby. Breaking the commandments? Oh, my goodness. It's going to be hot down there, sweetheart. But we were talking about, like, truth and what it meant. And, you know, he was talking about how he just couldn't get over the hypocrisy of many Christians. And I was like, maybe he's talking about me. Look at that's my holy man self. I understood what he was saying. But I think it speaks volumes that he has this innate desire for truth, for meaning in this world. When God created humans, however that happened, whenever that happened, he created us with a longing, a drive, a desire for something greater than ourselves. I believe that he created us with a knowledge of himself, and then we look to find it. It's a uniquely human character trait. We all have this. Children are born with it. Over years and years and years, we lose it. We distract ourselves. We put other things on top. But it's in there, compelling us, driving us to find some kind of truth. And I believe that the gospel is Jesus Christ's sacrifice to give us a tool to find that. Shamans used to eat peyote and walk around in the desert, lick poisonous frogs and trip out. Sumerians and Egyptians used to drink beer and try and find some mind-altering. But every society, every group, every person has this need to find something bigger than ourselves. The Holy Spirit is a tool that enables us to do that. I said before, and Jed pointed it out last week, that the Holy Spirit is like bespoke. It's made for each and every one of us. Jude always loses my TV remotes. I honestly don't know where they go. Like, did she take them outside, or how can they not be in the house? But we've gone through like four. So I just bought one of those universal TV remotes. And you program it to the TV, and every TV has its code. And then you like plug in the code, and then it works to power up, mute, and do all that kind of stuff. I think the Holy Spirit, for lack of a better term, is like that universal remote. I deal with different fears than Emilio or Judd or Heidi or Steve. So the same solution to my problem might not work for them. They need one that's particular to them. I'm an excitable person. I can't, like a cat on a hot tin roof, I do this easier than speaking with people. So if you ever wonder why I'm running out the door, or loitering over in the corner. It's because I struggle with personal conversations. It's much easier for me to talk at people than with people. But so then I need help with that in a way that maybe you do not. My struggles, my weaknesses aren't going to be the same as yours. But I might have strengths that you don't have. So the Holy Spirit has to meet you wherever you're at, because you're not where I'm at. You could be miles ahead or behind or to the side. But each and every one of us are on our path. That path that drives us. It's just a matter of whether or not we are willing to continue walking. Do not let the fear dissuade you from the goal that is true and good. When my dad first passed, it was chaos. Ashley asked me, "Are we ever going to be happy again?" And I said, "Yes, we will," only half believing it. We didn't know what to do with this place. Chaos. Terror. My father was like a monolith in my life. Zombie apocalypse would occur before I'd have to live life without Rich Frazier. The Canadians would... This joke. That's right. Don't tell my sister-in-law that. I love Canadians. I just joke. When we lost him, everything was thrown into disarray. There were financial issues, emotional issues, theological issues that we had to deal with. And I talked with my family and many of us, and we thought, well, maybe somebody else needs to carry the torch. Because it was scary. It was terrifying. How do you replace a man who prays 4 hours every day? I pray for 5 minutes, I start thinking about a video game I'm playing. I'm not even joking. I cannot seem to focus. I got to keep after it. A man who devoted decades of his life. What are we going to do? How are we ever going to do it? Imagine had the fear gripped us tightly enough to where we walked away. Where would we be now? The things that we are getting right now are because we faced into it. In that moment of panic, the Holy Spirit comes and says, "It's going to be well. It is well with my soul. It'll compel me. It will take me higher than I was before. It'll help me conquer my fear." Todd may not have to worry about what it means to preach like his father, but he has other fears that he's got to deal with. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes from. And it's so much greater than the idea that God hates sin so much that he can't look at us unless he kills his own son. That's the gospel? That's all there is? Don't worry, he still doesn't like you very much, but he really liked his son who he killed. So, that's it? That's all I get? When my watch wakes me up and says, "You're dying, old man." Huh. Well, at least when I die, I'm covered in blood, thank God. Sorry, I'm being facetious. I shouldn't be. But I need more than that, dude. I need it every single day. I need it when I wake up in the middle of the night alone. I need it when I'm trying to communicate with my son about the future. I need it when somebody says something that scares the bejesus out of me. I need it. I need it. I need it. And anything that is not it, it's got to be done away with. Any fear, any apprehension, any anxiety has to be overcome. That's the gospel. That's what it means to be a holy man or holy woman. It means with integrity and strength, we stare down fear and we persevere. That's the nature of it. Whether you're 18 years old or 100 years old, the Holy Spirit meets you where you're at, finds your fear, and crushes it. Maybe not all at once. Maybe you crush it and it comes back up. We keep on going. When we think about the future, about this place, talk about how are we going to get the word out? How are we going to grow the church? We cannot worry about what people will say or think or do. When we think about the past and what we've lost or what we've done, we cannot worry or fear. Cannot do it. Because it robs us of our birthright, the thing that humans have known since the dawn of time, that there's something greater for us, that there's something more. That fear of rejection, that fear of death, that fear of humiliation, that it can be overcome with the help of the Holy Spirit. People know it. That's why there's self-help books. That's why there's life coaches. That's why there's religion. We know it. How could we possibly know it? Because we were born with the knowledge. The same way a sparrow knows where to fly for winter is the same way I know that fear is from the devil. It's instinctual. It's deep down inside. It's just whether or not I'm going to buckle under it. And I have buckled. Whew. So many times, Harjeet, it's crazy. But that's the hope. It doesn't matter how many times I buckled when I was in my 20s. Doesn't matter how many times I buckled when I was in my 30s. Doesn't matter how many times I buckled this week. Love hopes all things, endures all things. It never fails. Because sooner or later, we get over it. Paul said a lot of stuff that wasn't awesome. That is the gospel, writ large. And you know how I know it? Because I feel it in my heart. I know that love. Would I give up on my son? That he just wouldn't clean his room. Get out. Even if I got to punish him, even if I got to make strong moves against him, I don't give up on him because I love him. Even, I feel like I'm not conveying this very well. Sorry. It's been a long week. The gospel is that the Holy Spirit was sent to help us overcome our fears. Pray and reflect on your life and think about what those things are. And then attend to them. My fears are not the same as your fears. I have a lot of trouble with bureaucracy. For some reason, I just can't get my DMV stuff done. I don't know why. That doesn't bother Daniel at all. He loves it. But I just put it off. I put it off. I put it off. I put it off. I think, I'll just do it tomorrow. I got to do this right now, and then tomorrow I'll do it. I don't know if any of you are like that. But it's never going to get better until I make it better. I'm never going to become organized until I find a way to face my fear. Now, that's not a huge devil or death fear, but it's anxiety. There's a reason I put it off. Money issues, bills, those things are difficult for me to look into. So that's something, the devil can use that to bring me low. So I got to find a way to attack that. It could be health in your body. Some people find it very difficult to exercise, to work out. I've been doing pretty well with that lately. That's a strength that I have, a weakness that I have. So the Holy Spirit has got to fit in to my life differently than it might need to fit into Ashley's. But it does fit in all. It's universal. If we are diligent, thank you for giving me this time. I was wrestling with it all week, in addition to graduations and field day and sunburns. I was wrestling. What do I do? Because when I'm here, I can feel assured. But that's not when the devil strikes. He strikes when I'm weak, when I'm vulnerable, when I'm alone. He waits until I'm asleep at night. That's when he comes to get me. And that's when he whispers his lies. What if, Gabe? What if? What if? And the fear creeps. It may be different for other people. Maybe he creeps through friends or acquaintances. Maybe he creeps through relationships or jobs. But whatever the lie is that is scaring you, that is causing you anxiety, pray about it and the Lord will reveal the truth. And then be diligent to attack it every day. And you won't get people coming to your house knocking at your door about the letter they sent you. Yeah, that happened to me this week, Hector. Dad, there's somebody at the door. There's nobody comes to my house. Yes. I'm here about the Ford. Oh, yeah, dude, I was going to. Then I, like, without even thinking, I just went, oh, dude, you know, I was going to do it. And you go into the million excuses. I don't know if you guys do that. And he's like, yeah, I just need to be open. Yeah, well, you know how it is when you got to do it. Yeah, I just got to get the thing. Because I was going to do it. You know me, but this is the kids, and what are you going to do? Yeah, if you could just open the thing. Right, my bad. I have to attend to it. I have to stay after it. Whatever it may be for you, if you feel that the Lord is calling you to take better care of your body, then listen to him. Whatever it may be, walk more. Leave on a funny note. You guys know who Charles Barkley is on TNT? They always tease each other back and forth on TNT when I was watching basketball. Charles Barkley said he was on a diet, and Shaq asked, what's the diet called? He said, if it tastes good, spit it out. I'm like, okay. But whatever it may be, looking at our lives, the problems of a young person may not be the same problems that I have. The problems that I have may not be the same problems you have, but I still got problems. I still got fears. I still have insecurities. I may be able to wear lighter colored shirts now, but I still got work to do. But that's the beauty of the Holy Spirit. He would meet me when I was 18. He'll meet me now that I'm 41. He'll meet me when I'm 125 on Mars. He will meet me where I'm at and bolster me, give me strength to overcome. And he'll do the same for you as long as we are diligent. And that's the gospel. Doesn't matter about who wrote what when. All of that is gravy. Any wisdom that can be ascertained from the Bible is gravy on top of that fact. It is good. 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 Judd sang it this morning so beautifully. It is well with my soul. If your soul is feeling troubled, look to the Holy Spirit and he will guide you into all truth about your bills, about your body, about your life, about your relationships. And the more that we put in, the more that we get out. Thank you so much for being here. Be blessed this week. Be blessed in your life. Be blessed in your health. Be blessed in your relationships. And search for the truth in your own life. You will reap the rewards. You're already going to heaven. Jesus did that for you already. But he's got greater plans than that. He's got greater plans than that for each and every one of us. And the people that aren't here, they still have those plans, but they would benefit from hearing about them. Please bow your head and close your eyes, and I will say a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord, I thank you for your help. I thank you for your help and your guidance. I thank you for your good plans for me. I ask you to help me. Give me wisdom, Lord. Give me wisdom in my own life to see what I should do, to be able to analyze and identify the things that are holding me back. Give me wisdom in the words that I say, in the actions I perform. Give me insight into the truth that's covered up. It's covered up by everything in this world that I use to ignore it. Help me uncover it and find it. Build us up, Lord. Build us up in our bodies. Build us up in this place. Build us up in our jobs. Help us, Lord. Give us a blessed week. Bind the enemy from us. And bring us back next week full of praise reports about the good that you have done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.